Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
We haven't talked to him in a while. We miss him. And maybe he can give us some good information about what's happening with baseball. That's our friend Buster Olney. What's up, Buster?
Sorry, Michael, I feel like Dr. Doom these days.
Now, I feel, Buster, that it's going to be worked out. I mean, there's too much at stake, and I'm betting on cooler heads prevailing. And I've also talked to some people who think this is all about negotiating. Are you hearing anything different?
I want to start with this, that watching this play out, and I heard you before and completely agree with you, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing watching the leadership on these two sides handle it the way they have. The idea that they didn't get the memo in mid-March that really bad things were going on in this country and that they should keep their discussions about money under wraps. It would be like, you know, two second cousins in the back pew of a memorial service arguing loudly. That's what it feels like right now. I would agree with you. I hear the same thing. People are saying, well, they'll get it done. You know, they need to get it done because they absolutely have to get it done. I was hearing the same thing about keeping the negotiations under wraps and having some sensibility. I remember hearing those type of voices back in 94 when the players went on strike on August 12th and people are saying, oh, you know, they'll eventually work it out. They're not going to cancel the World Series. Well, they did. And the relationship between these two sides right now is the worst that it's been in 25 years. The idea that we're sitting here basically at the absolute ground zero of, you know, starting point of a conversation about money after everyone's been sitting around for 2 months, it's incredible. I cannot believe they haven't been more productive, that the two sides haven't been able to find a way to communicate with each other, to have conversations, and to try to figure this out. But that's where we are.
Now, obviously, it can't be that much of an insult to the players that they negotiated that first original deal and then the owners came back about losing 40% of their revenue because of the fans not being allowed in the building. It has to be that this is how contentious the new CBA was going to be anyway, right? I mean, they were at odds with each other long before the pandemic.
100%. And in fact, I really believe that the CBA talks, the looming CBA talks, just hang over this thing and in some respects already having an effect on it. And they may be, as we talk about, you know, reasons for baseball coming back, that should not be underestimated as a factor. Because let's face it, if there is no baseball this year, that means that the relationship between the two sides was so bad that it, at a time when 40 million people have lost their jobs and people have lost lives and families have lost loved ones, they couldn't figure out their differences and how to split their pie. You know that if they can't work it out now, that moving forward, it's going to be even worse. You know, and I had one player representative say to me today, you know what, if the players can't get a deal now, then their leverage might be going on strike in the spring. And if the owners don't get, you know, terms that they find to be acceptable at a time when they're losing money, they could absolutely come down with the hammer as they move forward and you know, essentially angle for regime change on the side of the Players Association. So the stakes for not getting a deal done this summer are enormous, not because of the 2021 CBA talks.
Now, Buster, are you hearing that? Are there any owners out there that would prefer they not play?
I've heard the number is six. No, absolutely not. That there are teams that feel like, you know what, we'd be better off just not playing because I don't want the added expenses of the payroll that we would have to throw out there. And I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I know that number. The person, people who've told me that number are telling me because they're trying to ratchet up leverage. But I also agree with what you said before. It's not hard to see what's going on and say they're losing money. Like they're not taking in any money because there's nothing going on. And I do, it was interesting, last week, going into the week, there were a lot of moderate voices on the union side, on the player side, who felt like eventually the two sides would get to common ground. And some of those voices now are less confident based on what's happened the last 48 hours. I was shocked when I saw the owner's offer the other day. And that, to me, when the owners gave the players that offer, that was the darkest day in labor relations in baseball since the 94-95 strike because of what it meant. And look, those moderate voices at the end of that that day when they had gotten that offer on the union side, their feeling was they just essentially armed the Scott Boras wing of the union and strengthen them, and now you have a situation where the players are coalesced saying that the offer they got from the owners was so ridiculous they can't possibly consider it.
Now, and considering how contentious it was to begin with and what's happening now, do you think that there's some motivation behind the owners that think, hey, let's go for the jugular here? You know, we want a salary cap. We want to win this
right thing.
Is that their modus operandi? Is that why things are leaking out? Like, are they already trying to win the PR battle because they know – they're willing to cancel the season to get what they need down the road?
I've wondered about that, Don. I can't tell you for sure if that at this point, but you think about it from the players. I mean, from the owner's perspective, you know that you're going to lose money this year, right? That it's going to be ugly. The financial stuff is going to be ugly this year. It's going to be ugly next year. You're looking big picture at the CBA coming up, and the working relationship with the current leadership of the union is awful. It's terrible, which is being borne out right now. And, yes, the players, I feel like, have leverage in this moment because I feel like at the moment the owners need the players more than the players need the owners for 2020. And theoretically, the players could use that leverage of the moment to address big-picture issues, free agency in 2020, 2021, service time manipulation, tanking. But – if that leverage isn't used, if they don't get a deal, Don, I totally agree with your read on it, that at some point on the owner's side, they could say, you know what, we've got the bigger stack of chips, we've got the bigger pile. If we wait it out, eventually we might get to a place where we get the financial system we want. I don't think that's in the front burner now, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's in the back of the owner's minds.
Buster Olney is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Okay, so do you believe, I mean, we see what Trevor Bauer said about Boras, and Boras, I believe, has 71 really big-name clients. Is there a split in the union, too, between the haves and the have-nots?
I think that last week, behind the scenes, there were a lot of moderates in the players, whether it's, you know, the agents who are more moderates and the players that they represent, their voices, I think, were being heard more. And they were manifesting more. But as I say, the other day, when that offer came up so far short of what the moderates were hoping for, that it strengthened the Boras wing of the union in terms of, you know, that voice of, we're not going to give anything back. We've already talked about salaries. Those talks are off, those statements that we heard from Tony Clark and Scott Boras in early April.
And also, Buster, why do they keep saying, I mean, it's insulting. If you heard the beginning of the show, you know what I'm going to say. We've already taken a pay cut. They haven't worked. You don't get paid when you don't work. How's that a pay cut?
A lot of the handling on the player side, on both sides, but on the player side, I agree with you on that. Here's the other thing, too. Why come out with a statement of, we're done negotiating, we're done with salaries? First off, there's a disagreement, as you guys have talked about, between the two sides about whether or not they were going to reopen the conversations, if they play games without fans in the stands. There are even questions about that on the union side. But either way, why say it out loud? Mm-hmm. You know, why were there statements coming from Scott, from Tony Clark in early April saying, we are, you know, those negotiations are over? First off, I think it's apparent that at the moment, they may not be over. And if you're not going to actually follow through on that, then why would you say that out loud? And I don't understand the public discourse.
And Buster, is there any explanation for how, if voices like you and Jeff Passan and the other biggest names in baseball are kind of all echoing the same sentiment of why are they doing this? Can we understand how they're not hearing that when it's obviously so clear and audible?
Well, one thing is, and Michael had it exactly right, you know, Rob works for the owners, He is an employee of the 30 owners, and each of the 30 owners have their own agenda. So the leaks, you know, and I'm sure that Michael can do it too. We can look at the reporter who reported the information. We can say, yep, probably came from this owner or probably came from that owner. And on the player side, I remember talking to you guys about this 3-4 years ago. This is the first real test of a union trying to execute a strategy in the era of social media, in a labor stoppage. It's tough, you know, because you could have a unified voice the way that the Player Association did in 94, 95, and then you get your Blake Snell. Or then you get a situation last night, and I'm sure the owners were on the sidelines cheering, when Trevor Bauer, you know, goes after Scott Boras. Which is something that in 94, 95, the union would have absolutely worked against to show any cracks. So I think they hear it, and I think Michael would agree with me 100%. 99% of the players in the union, they get it. They probably are hearing from their families. They're probably appalled. But at the top, that's where the problems have been.
Well, where's the leadership on the owner's side? If it can't be Manfred because he works for the owners, who is the outspoken voice? Who can be the head of the table of the five families? There's got to be somebody that can take control of them, no?
Yeah, Don, I've always, got to cover the NFL for 1 year in 2002, and it just jumped out at me how different it was, where it felt like that the NFL, certainly the NBA has it, no question about it, that central power exists in those sports in a way that it doesn't in baseball. And the way it is in baseball, and I saw this with Bud Selig and I see it with Rob now, is that you're trying to pull together all these disparate forces who act on their own behalves. And I think that's where the leaks come from in part, because you have different owners have different relationships, and they're not going to be beholden to someone that they employ.
Think about this, Buster, because we had Lou Lamoriello and John Davidson on. All right, well, the president of the Islanders and the Rangers, respectively, complimenting Donald Fehr. I mean, think about that. You cover base. Can you ever, just talk about leadership? Talk about trust. Well, you have management in the NHL, you know, throwing flowers at Donald Fehr.
Yeah, and you know, that was the relationship between Rob and the late union leader Michael Wiener, and there's no question that it's changed. Under Tony Clark, that after the 2016 CBA negotiations, which did not go well for the players, there is just no trust there, and that is fully manifesting itself. Again, think about it. This all took place in the second week of March, and we're basically sitting at the starting point of negotiations with the two sides entrenched with their respective positions. That's incredible.
Now, before we let you go, I just want to touch on this one point. I know there is an E60 tomorrow on Roy Halladay, which I think you are part of. Tell me about this. How's it going to roll?
Well, I was just interviewed for it. I got, 2 seconds. That is the part you definitely want to ignore. The rest of it is outstanding. It is a great piece on Roy Halladay. Really puts Roy and his career and his troubles into perspective. And I do think it's going to open up a conversation that's long overdue in baseball about pitchers and pharmaceuticals. Look, in the time I cover the sport, I think because the credo of pitchers, taking the ball every fifth day, they work through so much pain. And I think that painkillers are a regular thing. And I think there are people who are going to benefit from watching the piece that E60 has in Roy Halladay tomorrow night.
Well, good stuff. Thank you, Buster. Great information by you. Hopefully we'll have baseball.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you, and now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-1-20.